In the shadows of an ordinary life, where childhood fears blend into adult nightmares, there lies a story so chilling, it claws at the very fabric of reality. Welcome to a tale of darkness and deliverance, where an ancient evil reaches through time and space to claim a soul. Imagine feeling a presence so malevolent, it transforms the safety of home into a sinister trap, where every corner hides a lurking horror. Today we delve deep into the haunting of Caleb Weaver, a young man ensnared by a force as old as the pyramids themselves. From the eerie chill of a childhood room to the suffocating grip of an unseen tormentor, join us through corridors of the unknown, guided by the very voices of those who live this nightmare. Through meticulously preserved interview transcripts, we bring to life the first-hand accounts of Caleb, his family, and friends, each voice a testament to the thin veil between our world and the spectral. These are not mere reenactments. They are echoes of genuine terror and triumph, captured and retold in their most raw and real form. Brace yourself as we step through the doorway that Caleb inadvertently opened in his youth, unleashing a saga of possession, despair, and a desperate fight for salvation. This isn't just a story. It's an immersion into a reality where the past is never truly past, and some doors, once opened, might never be closed again. Are you ready? Then let us begin.
Welcome back to Retraced Echoes. As always, I'm your host. My name is Bert, and today we're going to be unwrapping layers of time as well as mystery, much like you would unwrap a mummy from its linens. Now, in the deep corners of a dusty tomb in the pages of forgotten lore, curses are whispered, and with those curses, stories are born. But what do you believe? Can a curse stretch its bony fingers across the very sands of time to clutch into our present day? Well, stick around as we delve deep into tales of curses and those that it's touched. Now, are you ready to question the line between myth and reality? Well, today's story is going to attempt to answer that very question. But before we jump into that, let me give a very quick disclaimer. Now, this story was also covered on a show called A Haunting. I actually watched it to make sure that everything that I had in this episode was going to be covered and make sure that nothing was forgotten, which is relatively common. That's something that I do quite often. A lot of times I'll have a story in mind, I'll build it, and as soon as I build it, I'll see, has there ever been a show that's ever covered? And if so, I watch the show and make sure that there's not something I forgot. Let's be honest, when we're recording podcasts, sometimes we forget quite a bit. Now, that said, there's a big part of the story that is vastly different than what actually happened. I'm basing my episode on my research, as well as interviews from Caleb, Caleb's girlfriend Laura, and his friend John. So, the episode in question is going to be titled, for them, for A Haunting, Curse of the Mummy. So before I hear it in the comments, the episode that you saw on A Haunting, it's going to be what I like to call being Holly-weirded. They changed it up a little bit. But enough about that, let's get to the actual story. Now, our story today begins not in an ancient tomb, but instead in a second grade classroom. Our subject for the day, that's going to be Caleb Weaver, a curious child with a spark of the unknown already flickering from within him. Now, he was about as ordinary as any child of his age. Now, he was eager for new experiences and little adventures. But that was all about to change with an upcoming field trip that would mark the start of an extraordinary and terrifying chapter of his life. It was a crisp morning, and there was a certain excitement as all the kids boarded the bus. Their destination? A local museum, known for their rare collection of artifacts from around the world, including a new exhibit that just totally captivated the local newspaper. What was it? An ancient Egyptian mummy, a treasure trove of myth and mystery, freshly unveiled. Now think back to when you was a kid. There's just something exciting about Egyptian culture. In fact, I've been to quite a few Egyptian exhibits in my lifetime. Most of those over the years have been somewhat lackluster. Most of the ones that I've been to, once you get in there, says something along the lines of, this is a reproduction of what was actually found inside the tomb of such and such. For me, that was always such a huge letdown. Like, I want to see what's actually inside the tomb. Or, guess in a case like this, maybe not. As the bus continued towards the destination, there was talking amongst the children. There was laughter. They were having fun, including Caleb. Now, none would know the weight of the history that they would find or the darkness that lurked beneath the bandages that was behind the glass of the museum's latest exhibit. As the bus pulled into the museum, there was a certain excitement that was in the air, one that only a group of second graders could create. As the doors opened, the kids were pushing their way down. They couldn't wait to get inside the museum, their eyes wide with wonder. As they worked their way around their museum, they all finally came to the exhibit that everyone was mostly excited to see, the mummy exhibit. Everyone except for Caleb, he was super curious at first, but there was a certain chill that did not fit the rest of his classmates. For him, there wasn't that awe and curiosity mirrored in his classmates' faces. As the echo of the guide's voices fade into the background, Caleb, he felt an unexplainable pull towards the exhibit. The chatter of his classmates seemed to dim. The world around him blurred into the background of the artifacts. It was calling to him.
As soon as we got in there, I just felt oddly drawn to the exhibit and to these artifacts. Everything else seemed to just tune itself out. As I'm looking at everything, I felt kind of separated from everyone.
The centerpiece of the exhibit was a mummy, preserved so perfectly that it was said that it was almost as though time itself hesitated in its decay. Now, the mummy was said to be that of an ancient Egyptian preserved according to custom. They believed that she was a priestess who served one of Egypt's most major deities. But it wasn't just her preservation that caught Caleb's breath in his throat. It was the intensity of her gaze, her unwrapped face looking back at him as if peering into his very soul.
The unwrapped head of the mummy was pretty intense. The whole face was intact. Everything kind of looked like something out of a horror movie.
As Caleb stood there, the sensation overwhelmed him. A feeling so powerful that it was as if the air around him had thickened. The room spun, and he was trapped in his own little world, isolated and alone in his dread.
Everything blurred. I was just trapped in my own world. I don't even know if anyone even realized what I was experiencing. It got so intense. It was unbearable.
Now, relief came only when they left the gallery. The heavy air that clung to Caleb began to dissipate as soon as they stepped away from the ancient relics.
As soon as we left that gallery, I just felt a lot of relief. I was just glad to be out of there.
But what Caleb didn't know then was that some echoes of the past, they're not left behind so easily. They follow almost like a shadow at noon. They're waiting for the night to fall. Now, the bus ride home, it was buzzed with the typical usual laughter and chatter of school children. Yet for Caleb, it felt as though he was descending into a darker, unseen world. Now, despite leaving the museum's haunting exhibits behind, the unnerving sensations clung to him, growing stronger with each passing mile. Now, as Caleb stepped off the bus, the familiar sights of his neighborhood, he seemed strangely alien. The comfort of his home now, it felt tainted, overshadowed by an invisible darkness that crept into his very thoughts.
As soon as I got home, I felt the same uneasiness that I felt when we were at the gallery. It was like something followed me home.
Inside the house that had always been his sanctuary now felt oppressive. The shadow stretched longer. The silence weighed heavily in the air.
When Caleb came home from the field trip, he was very quiet. Just kept talking about the mummy exhibit. He seemed really scared. We thought maybe it's his new obsession. He's always been like that, getting really into his interests.
My parents tried to brush it off, saying it's natural to be a bit scared after seeing a mummy, you know, a dead body, but there was something more, something deeper. I felt like I was in real danger.
That evening, as darkness took hold, the walls of Caleb's room, they seemed to close in on him. Laying in his bed, the familiar creaks of the house transformed into stealthy steps of something. Something that was sinister, and it was approaching.
That night, I saw these glowing green eyes, and I heard this low guttural growl. It was terrifying, the heavy footsteps across my room, and then it vanished.
But amidst the terror, a faint glimmer of hope appeared. As the malevolent presence grew near, another figure, mysterious and protective, it seemed to materialize.
There was also this other presence, a woman. It felt like she was there to protect me. She was faint, almost like she was struggling to reach me through the darkness.
Now, while the malevolent entity retreated for the moment, the sense of an ongoing battle between the protective spirit and the dark forces filled the room. Caleb lay frozen, caught between two worlds, one desperately trying to, if anything, guard him, the other to consume him. Now, as dawn broke, the night's horror lingered in Caleb's mind, a stark reminder of something that started at school and on a field trip that had spiraled into a real-life nightmare. The echoes of the ancient past were not confined to the museum. They had followed Caleb home, intent on making their presence felt.
Right after he went to see the mummy museum, that's when he started saying he heard things. He thought he could hear something breathing upstairs in his room.
Now at the breakfast table, the remnants of the night's fear hung heavy in the air. Caleb's parents, they noticed his unease, probably the best way to put it. His mother probing gently about the noises that, if anything, had disturbed the quiet of their home. But understanding was elusive, his father's word reflecting dismissal more than disbelief. His father said that more than likely he was just upset because he saw a mummy in a museum. The house was old. It's not uncommon for it to make those kind of strange noises.
My dad dismissed it as me being too old to be experiencing the boogeyman or monsters. But no, this was real. Its eyes, they were glowing.
His dad and I chalked it up to his imagination. Caleb's always been a very unique individual, and he seems to experience emotions very strongly. We just assumed that if we were patient and let him work his way through it, it would be the end of it.
But Caleb knew better. The dread that clutched at his heart, it was no figment of his imagination.
My parents said it was probably just a nightmare, but when you wake up, you know that distinction. I know it wasn't that.
Forced into silence by disbelief, Caleb found himself increasingly isolated. His fear, real and persistent, and it was his alone to bear.
I did have a few close friends, but I never spoke about any of this. My parents dismissed me, so would my friends dismiss it too? I felt very isolated, so I just kept everything to myself.
Days turned into months, months into years. Now Caleb's encounter with the dark presence kind of ebb and flowed into a sinister tide. Sometimes there would be peace, very deceptive peace. But then again, often, when least expected, the shadows would lengthen, the air would chill, and the haunting would resume as if there was no time that had passed at all. On one afternoon, after the initial haunting had begun, Caleb faced a brand new ordeal. He realized that he left his keys inside the house. He was basically locked out. His only option was the one place that he dreaded the most. It was the basement. As Caleb opened the door to the basement, there was a certain chill that ran right down his spine. The air was thick, the light was dim, and every step was like an intrusion into a forbidden crypt.
The moment that I walked into the basement, I was creeped out by it. It looked like a crypt, a place where you know you're not supposed to be. This was somebody else's domain.
Descending the stairs, the shadows seemed to dance along the walls, whispering secrets in a language long forgotten. Caleb paused, his heart racing, as he heard a faint, sinister whisper.
I paused for just a moment, and I heard this whispering. I turned to look in the corner, and I saw the eyes, the head, and the scales of this thing.
There, in the darkest corner of the basement, materialized a figure terrifying beyond words. A creature part crocodile, part mutated human. Massive and menacing.
It was crocodile in appearance and partially mutated with a person? Just very massive, very menacing. I was absolutely terrified. This thing was coming after me like creature would stalk its prey.
Overcome by terror, Caleb did the only thing that he could do, and ran. He bolted up the stairs and fled the basement, the creature hissing and echoing behind him, like the call of the underworld.
I ran out of there as fast as I could. At that point, I knew that it was something paranormal. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I knew that this thing was targeting me, and it was not friendly.
Back in the safety of daylight, Caleb's mind raced. The encounter had confirmed his worst fears, that he faced what was not just the shadow of the past, but a tangible, malevolent force determined to haunt him. Now, as Susan returned home, she found Caleb distressed. The house was locked, and her son was on the verge of panic. The more Caleb described his terrifying experience in the basement, the deeper that Susan delved into her own past, suspecting that maybe the house itself, it might be what's influencing her son.
When I was a child, my father was a very abusive alcoholic. There was many instances of domestic violence. As an adult, moving back into the home, I would sometimes experience flashbacks to those violent episodes. I thought maybe the house had some residual energy from my own experiences when I was young.
Now, Susan's reflection opened a window into her own troubled past, suggesting that maybe what happened in her past might be contributing to the unsettling atmosphere. That said, she didn't understand that Caleb was experiencing not echoes from her past, but a distinct and menacing presence. Now, for a time, things seemed to quiet down. The shadows receded slightly, giving Caleb some time to breathe. The house held its breath, and for a few fleeting moments, the entity of the past seemed to withdraw into the silence. One evening, as Caleb came into the house, he found himself alone. His mom explained that she had to go pick up his dad. He was having some car trouble. Now Caleb tried to settle the gnawing anxiety by searching for something to eat.
I started getting very sick to my stomach. It was very overwhelming sensation. Like I was just having an anxiety attack.
Shaken, Caleb fled upstairs to a bathroom to splash some water onto his face. He was hoping to wash away the fear that clung to his skin like a cold sweat. Now, as he had that water onto his face and he looked up into the mirror, behind him, the horrifying entity that he had come to dread just stood looking at him. Before he could even react, an invisible force gripped his arm.
All of a sudden, I just felt a searing pain. Felt like someone put my arm into a vise. I didn't think it was going to let go. My arm felt like it was on fire, and I realized I was bleeding. It was clearly a bite mark.
Terrified and in pain, Caleb knew that he had to keep this assault a secret. You see, his parents, they didn't believe his earlier accounts, And this physical attack, it was too horrific, too real to be dismissed as mere shadows.
I hid it because nobody believed what I was going through. I'm the only one seeing this thing and experiencing what's going on. I felt just helpless.
With nowhere to turn, Caleb spiraled into darkness. His encounter with the entity, they had grown more and more intense, leading to an emotional breakdown. His parents was obviously concerned, but they were also unaware of the true extent of his torment. To try to help, they sent him to counseling. As the weeks passed, Caleb pulled further and further away from everyone. He retreated into a shell built of his own despair and his own fear. The house with its heavy presence, its heavy air of secrets, all the past secrets of past violence, seemed to throb with a sinister life, all of its own. Now, after years of enduring this haunting terror, Caleb Weaver, he made a life-altering decision just as soon as he graduated from high school. He was desperate to get away. He wanted to have a normal life. What did he do? He left his childhood home and the presence that was there and moved hundreds of miles away to Glen Burnie, Maryland. Now there, Caleb found somewhat of a normal routine. He found a new job as a security guard at a local mall. And for once in his life, he was able to find some comfort in the rhythms of everyday life.
I moved out of the house for no other reason than just to escape this. Started actually having a normal life without being terrorized every night.
In this newfound peace, Caleb also found love. He met Laura, a young woman who was very open, very accepting, and she provided him with the support that he sorely needed.
Caleb opened up to me about his childhood. I was very supportive when he told me all about his experiences because I always believe that there is something else out there.
Laura, she's very open. You can talk to her about anything. She's caring and sweet, and that's what really attracted me to her. That really strengthened our relationship. You know, she's fully accepting of it, there's no doubt in her eyes.
As Caleb settled into his new life, he also formed a significant friendship with a coworker named John.
I started working for a company that he was a supervisor for, and we just became close friends ever since.
One day after work, Caleb, Laura, and John, they were all hanging out. A casual conversation took a turn when John noticed the scars on Caleb's arm, a lasting reminder of his past experiences in that bathroom upstairs.
The conversation just kind of got brought up, and he was very vague about it.
Now, despite how normal Caleb's life became, Caleb's scars, they were not just physical, they were emotional. Emotional, invisible marks that perhaps they would never fully heal. His past was a shadow that, although dimmed by distance and time, still linger in the quieter moments of his very existence. That evening, while standing around the campfire, John asked Caleb a very complicated question, at least for the average person. He said, "Do you believe in the paranormal, that creatures can exist that, well, they are not from this world?" Caleb became very hesitant in his answer. But he said, "Actually, I do." John then went on to tell a tale that would scare the average person. It was a tale that was twisted in dark rituals and forgotten woods. John said that when he was a kid, he went into the woods and he came across an old building. In one of the corners of the old building sat an old book. He picked it up, and it was a satanic Bible. Now that fateful day, a demon had attached itself to John, latching on for many years of torment that mirrored the darkness that Caleb had fought so hard to escape. Now John, he had no idea what to do until he met a man named Bill Bean. Now Bill delivered him from that horrible demon. After that, John started studying under Bill to help others to deal in the supernatural. Now, John's story resonated with Caleb. Caleb had spent so many of his years feeling isolated, feeling misunderstood, and by the people that he loved the most. John's understanding and acceptance provided a brand new layer of camaraderie between the two.
Caleb didn't really talk about it much. I didn't want to push it too far, just given what I'd went through. You're very reclusive. You don't want to talk to anyone about it for fear of them thinking that you're crazy.
That night, as they fed more wood into the fire, the flames it cast long shadows into the woods all around them. But for both men, they found somewhat of a relief in their shared experiences. For Caleb, it was a reminder that he was not alone in his struggle against the, we'll just say, the unseen. As the fire burned down into embers, Caleb and John's conversation marked a very pivotal moment in Caleb's journey, a realization that his battles, though deeply personal, were part of a large tapestry of human encounters with the supernatural. And as each story unfolded by the firelight, the past seemed to weave itself into the present, offering both warning and guidance for the road ahead. December of 2013 marked a significant moment in Caleb's life. After years of finding somewhat of a normal life and one away from his childhood home, Caleb returned home for Christmas, greeted by the warm embrace of his family.
It was nice to have him home. I enjoyed seeing him.
The house was filled with sounds of Christmas, laughter, clinking and clattering of plates and dishes, festive music. Yet beneath the holiday cheer, the shadows of his past, they lingered. They were waiting. That night, as Caleb slept in his old bedroom for the first time since he fled from that entity so many years ago, the room, once his sanctuary, now felt strangely oppressive as the night deepened. As the clock ticked down towards midnight, the festive noises of the day, they gave way to the eerie silence. It was then that the forgotten voices of the house began to whisper, a sinister chorus rising from the very walls. Caleb was lying in his old bed. He felt an overwhelming presence surround him. The weight of unseen forces, they bore down on him, as tangible as the darkness around him.
I felt a weight come onto me. I felt like I was going to fall right through the floor.
Now, what should have been a night of joyful reunion turned into a reminder of his haunting past. The house adorned with lights and holiday decorations, well, they masked a much deeper, more menacing reality. One that Caleb, he could no longer deny. This was no attack. This became a possession. A few days after the holiday ordeal, Caleb returned to Maryland, the home that he shared with his girlfriend Laura. But the Caleb who walked through the door, it was not the same man that Laura once knew.
As soon as he walked in the door, I knew there was something wrong with him. This anger that he was displaying to that level was not him. It was definitely like looking at a stranger. I started to become afraid all the time because I didn't know what was going to set him off next.
The change in Caleb was drastic. Where there once was a loving and gentle person, now there stood a man who was constantly in rage. Now, Laura's concern, it grew every day. The atmosphere in the home had changed very unpredictably. Caleb's behavior, it became more erratic, more confrontational, absolutely terrifying. Now, meanwhile, at work, Caleb's longtime friend now, John, he also noticed a very disturbing shift. Before the holidays, Caleb was known to be very easygoing. Now, he seemed to be like a fuse waiting to be ignited.
Before Caleb went up to New York for the holidays, he was a fun-loving person. He came back with a lot more hostility in him. He was going out looking for problems. He wanted to assert his dominance. He wanted to hurt somebody.
John, having faced his own demons in the past, he saw very familiar signs in Caleb. The transformation was not just emotional, it was spiritual.
It was Caleb physically, you know, mentally and spiritually. It just wasn't. I knew something was up, and dealing with my experiences, it led me to believe one thing, that he was possessed.
The realization hit John like a cold wave. Memories of his own dark past echoing, and Caleb's current state suggesting a possession that was far beyond just a change in Caleb's temperament. And as tensions mounted around him, Caleb found himself spiraling deeper into the darkness that seemed to claw its way back from his childhood home, with his relationships at risk and his very soul on the line. The stakes, they were higher than ever. Laura and John, they were both deeply concerned, and they decided it was time to confront the darkness that had surrounded Caleb. The air was heavy. It was heavy with urgency as they gathered to voice their fears.
I didn't start to think it was paranormal until John and I sat down and discussed it. I believe that something had come home with him. I had no idea what to do to help him. I was desperate.
Now, as Caleb walked into the room, the change in him, it was noticed. His eyes a mirror of the turmoil within.
I was open to breaking this attachment of this thing and getting rid of it.
At that point, I just said, you know, I have to do something now before it gets out of hand. It's just going to get worse from here.
John, experienced with his own encounters, began the deliverance, invoking spiritual warfare prayers, a battle cry against the demonic entities.
The spiritual warfare prayers used when you're going to battle with the demonic entities, it's calling upon God to send down his angels and be your protection and fight for you.
It was overwhelming. I was put into a haze. I only remember bits and pieces here and there. Everything just seemed like a blur.
As John pressed on with the prayers, the entity within, it began to stir.
At this point, I started becoming fearful. It's steered up. It's out. I've got to do this. Otherwise, things are going to get really, really bad.
John told me to leave because Caleb had threatened him. He didn't want me to get hurt. I was terrified. I was afraid that something bad was going to happen.
The room changed with a supernatural strength, and John realized the entity, it was not yielding. The battle was fiercer than he had ever faced.
It freaked me out, but I didn't want the entity to know that it scared me. If you show fear, it can just take over. It will completely devour you. I've never experienced strength like this. It was a supernatural strength that could not have come from a human being.
Overwhelmed and outmatched, John made the very difficult decision to call in reinforcements. He called on his old mentor, Bill Bean, the only man that he thought could potentially help. Now, Bill Bean, he was an ordained deliverance minister with a history of freeing those possessed by the supernatural. Bill had once saved John, and now he was here to rescue Caleb.
Caleb was under demonic possession. He was exposed to something in his early childhood years that opened a doorway for these demonic forces to come onto him.
As a precaution, Bill took measure to ensure everyone's safety. Caleb, he was restrained, handcuffed, and seated firmly in a chair, a necessary step given the unpredictable power of the entity that was within him.
My biggest fears were that Caleb could possibly die from this, or worse, kill one of us.
After we handcuffed him and put him in that chair, it was like a light switch. It was totally night and day.
Bill began the exorcism, invoking the divine protection and casting out the demon in a stern, commanding voice. The room was charged with a tangible tension as Bill confronted the very malevolent spirit. Now, as the prayers intensified, witnesses reported seeing Caleb's face contorting, sinister grin. was distorting his face as a demon fought to maintain its hold.
Caleb's facial features were actually changing. This demon inside of him had this sinister grin. I literally felt the demon leaving through his mouth. He was delivered right then and there.
The moment that the entity left Caleb, the atmosphere in the room, it shifted dramatically. A sense of peace that came across Caleb. He was finally free from the demon's grip. He broke down and he cried.
I knew it was out of me. I felt lighter, peaceful. I remember just breaking down and crying. It felt like waking up from the world's most horrible dream.
When I looked into his eyes afterwards, I actually saw Caleb. I wasn't afraid of him anymore.
In April of 2014, Caleb and Laura took a monumental step together. One that would seal their bond, forged through the toughest of trials. They got married, and their union a testament to their enduring strength, as well as their deep love. And as they stood at the altar, they reflect on a journey that had tested both of them. Their commitment to each other, it was unshakable in the face of the most unimaginable challenges. Now as for Caleb, he no longer fears the one that tormented him. He found a peace, a newfound strength that came from within, a beacon for others who might still be searching in the dark. I think that's the best way to end this story. On a message of hope, on a message of happiness, I personally could not be more happy for Caleb, for Laura, as well as for John. That is a marriage and a friendship that will last the test of time. Now, even though this story is done, if you want to hear more stories, I have another podcast called Deceptive Reality. Every single week, we look at a different unsolved mystery and we do a deep dive. So, if you love unsolved mysteries, check us out at Deceptive Reality wherever you listen to podcasts. Until I see you in the next podcast, good.